Breeze 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning.
In 3 days, the nation will decide if President Barack Obama will lead our country for the next 4 years or the reins of presidential power be handed over to Governor Mitt Romney. The polls have tightened significantly. Hurricane Sandy has devastated parts of New Jersey, especially the Jersey Shore. New York City, West Virginia, parts of Pennsylvania were dealt a huge blow from Hurricane Sandy. Millions of people are still without power. This will pose a significant challenge during Tuesday's election as coastal residents impacted by Hurricane Sandy, as well as West Virginians and voters in Pennsylvania, struggle to get their lives back together. So this will most certainly be an extraordinarily close election. What will decide the race for the White House? Will it be President Obama's handling of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy? Will it be independent and low information voters? Will swing states decide this election? Will President Obama's firewall in Ohio pave the road to an electoral college win of 270? Or will early voting be the determining factor? My guest today will help me ferret through all of these possibilities. Get ready, folks. This is going to be a great show here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland.
In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting.
Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart.
Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning via telephone is Colette Forrest, a campaign strategist and consultant. Ms. Forrest worked as a paid staffer for North Carolina U.S. Senator John Edwards, worked on the paid campaign staff of North Carolina U.S. Congressman Mel Watt, North Carolina U.S. Senate candidate Erskine Bowles, North Carolina District Court Judge Donnie Hoover, North Carolina Governor Beverly Perdue, and North Carolina U.S. Senator Kay Hagan. She also volunteered on the campaigns of South Carolina U.S. Congressman Jim Clyburn, the campaign of Mayor Anthony Fox, and a host of other elected officials in both North and South Carolina. Colette, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I am certainly excited to have you grace our airwaves once again. We had an opportunity to talk a few months ago about the upcoming 2012 presidential election, and again, I'm excited to have you again to talk about it. We are in the closing days of this election, and the race is certainly tight. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing. I understand that you just left a voter registration program. Talk a little bit about what you're doing at this point.
Well, actually, I just left an early vote site.
Okay.
Here in North Carolina, voter registration ended on Friday, October the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are in an enviable political position here in North Carolina because we have what is called the no excuse voting, early vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that began on Thursday, October the 18th, and it's still running until this Saturday, November the 3rd. And basically, even if we didn't catch you in the registration part prior to October the 12th, you can still register and vote at the same time, simultaneously. Get registered and you vote right there. That's a unique asset that North Carolina has that a lot of other states don't have, and it's early vote, no excuse voting. And I just left Bates Ford Road Library. I'm just wanting to make sure that persons had their materials, that we had our election protection people in place, because although North Carolina does not require photo ID, we have a lot of suppression tactics that are being used, and one is to let people think prior to getting into the line that they have to have their photo ID. So at African American early vote sites like Bates Ford Road Library, we make sure that there are election protection people working with Democracy North Carolina, which is another nonpartisan organization, to ensure that people realize their rights and that they do not have to have a photo ID to cast their ballot and vote.
Absolutely. And that is certainly a wonderful thing. As we've seen throughout the country, there are voter suppression efforts, particularly in states that are run by Republican governors. Well, what is your thought and assessment about those kinds of efforts around the country?
I mean, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but I can't get bogged down in the morality of it all. At the end of the day, my final analysis, I want African Americans to get out and vote. And right here in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, we've almost had 200,000 people to vote. Exactly, there's 171,000 persons that have voted thus far to date. Yesterday, when the early vote sites closed at 7 p.m., and we are trying to get as many people out as possible. Right now, African Americans are trailing behind Caucasians, whites. They're trailing. We're not voting in the numbers that we voted here in North Carolina and in Charlotte-Mecklenburg in 2008, and we've got to get out. When we look at our traditional African-American early vote sites like Baby's Ford Road, Ramsey's Temple, West Library, located on West Boulevard, we are trailing traditionally identifiable white early vote sites like the Gibson Building in Ballantyne, or Cornelius Town Hall in Cornelius, or Morrison Library, in South Park, or North County in Huntersville, or South County on Ray Road. They're clobbering us as African-American voters. They are outvoting us almost 3-1.
And it's safe to say that that is worrying you. What do you think is contributing to this turnout deficit?
Well, I think that 2008, African-Americans and Democrats, they did a fantastic, phenomenal job with using early vote to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that 2012, the Republicans demonstrated their chops and they turned out their voters. And I think in 2012, they're doing more of the same. In 2010, the Republicans did a great job with turning out their voters because they basically took the House and the Senate and in many state legislatures. And they changed the game. They took and laid their stake in early voting. And I think they're continuing what they began in 2010 by doing what they're doing now in 2012. We're seeing fantastic early vote numbers, but breaking down race, whites are outvoting African Americans, and we've got to get out because the stakes are too high. It's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's your right. It's Medicare, it's Social Security, it's the environment, it's education. These are the things that you need to be in tune to vote for, and vote for people that represent your best interests, be it Barack Obama, be it Mitt Romney. You've got to get out as African Americans and vote.
Now, in terms of getting folks motivated, you've given a litany of things, including Medicare, Medicaid. Those are a priority in the African-American community as well as the white community. How can we get folks more enthusiastic and more motivated about getting out there to vote?
Well, I think right now what we're seeing, because there's so much joblessness in the African-American community and overall because of the economy, I think people, it's not as if they don't realize and recognize the importance of voting. Right now, they've just got so many personal dilemmas and challenges going on in their own lives.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of pecking order. What takes priority? What takes precedent?
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go to work. I've got to, pick up the baby. I've got to drop off the baby at daycare. And I've got to earn my keep and keep the lights on. So when can I squeeze in voting? But that's why early voting is so important. The libraries are open from today, Saturday, November the 3rd. They're going to be open from 10 until 5. So we got to get out. We got to get out because this is the last day of early voting. You've got to get out and vote. And then Tuesday, we have Election Day, and the polls open up from 6:30 a.m. till 7:30 p.m. And an important matter to note, early voting sites like the libraries, they are done. Not go to the libraries to vote on Election Day. You have to go to your assigned precincts. So if you have any kinks, if you've changed address, homes, condos, apartments, Now is the time to get out to vote, because on Election Day, November the 6th, you won't be able to settle those dilemmas.
One of the interesting things about this race, and I'm so glad that you are addressing what is happening in Charlotte today, and that is Mitt Romney seems to be garnering a lead in North Carolina. And you've ran down a litany of things, and it's so disappointing that we are falling behind on those numbers. But I happen to believe that President Obama may edge it out, primarily because I don't think, with all the white voters out there, that it's all going to Mitt Romney. Any thoughts about how white voters are still in some way enthusiastic about voting for President Obama?
Well, it's not just President Obama. What I tell people as I volunteer at these early vote sites is it's the total ticket from the bottom to the top. A couple of educational pieces. You have to vote for the president separate. Barack Obama and Joe Biden, you have to vote for them separate than the ticket. If you vote a straight Democratic ticket, it will include the Democratic candidate on that ticket, but it will not include the judges. Judges here in North Carolina and here in Charlotte are nonpartisan.
Right.
What that means is they don't get picked up when you choose to vote a straight party ticket. You've got great judges that are running. Sam Ervin, he's running on the Supreme Court. You've got Wanda Bryant, Cressy Thigpen, and Linda McGee that's running on the Court of Appeals, and that's statewide races. And then locally, you've got people like Judge Charlotte Brown, also AME Zion minister, that's running locally here in Charlotte Mecklenburg. She is presently a judge. You've got people like Judge Donnie Hoover that's running, who is presently a judge. Both of them are running to keep their judicial seats because they are the judge.
Right.
They were elected in 2008. And you also have a young attorney with child support law enforcement, which is the area that really touches African-American moms, because I'm a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running for a open seat. So you've got great judges that affect our lives on a daily basis.
Right.
They deal with traffic court. They deal with child support, as I've already identified. They deal with domestic violence issues. They deal with truancy issues.
Mm-hmm.
So they really deal with the matters that really affect the minority community. So we can't forget the judges. They're at the bottom of the ballot. They're nonpartisan races. And what that means, they're not going to be picked up by voting a straight ticket. And you have to deliberately vote for the judges.
Absolutely. Colette, the latest political George Washington University poll suggests that President Obama is ahead by 1.49% to 48%, which means the battleground states and independent voters are going to decide this election. Now, of course, we know that Ohio still is a firewall for the president, and that with Ohio, he will probably win the election in terms of the Electoral College. Give me your thoughts about why the race is so close.
Well, I think we as African Americans are not as enthusiastic, as I hinted earlier, because of just the personal challenges that our households are facing because of the economy. And I think some of us feel like, okay, we did it, now we're good. So I think that you're seeing not the levels of enthusiasm and excitement in the African American community that you saw previously supporting President Obama. I think that his support has not wavered.
Mm-hmm.
Or waned. I just think we're dealing with so much more in the African American and minority communities that we're not going to the polls in droves as early as we did in 2008. And also, Mitt Romney has a lot of money. He has a lot of money. so he's able to pour money into the campaign in this political process like we haven't seen recently. And because of the Supreme Court ruling with these super PACs, you've got a lot of other agents that are pouring money into the race and trying to affect who's going to be our 45th president.
Right. Now, you know, some pundits and experts suggest that the first debate between President Obama and Mitt Romney really took a toll on President Obama in terms of enthusiasm and even swaying some independent voters. Any thoughts about his performance during the first debate? Because it seems to me that the second and third debate, he really came back swinging and fighting. And it suggests to me that he does really want the job. Any thoughts about that?
Well, let's first make sure your listeners understand he has the job.
Absolutely.
He is the president of the United States.
Yeah,
he has
yeah.
the job. President Obama merely wants to keep his job to finish what he started.
Right.
He had a tremendous deficit. And the books were cooked, if you will. He didn't really know everything he was getting into when he took the presidency back in January of 2009. And it takes a while. It takes a while to turn the ship as large as the United States. So he wants to keep his job as president of the United States, and he wants to be allowed to continue what he started, and that is putting us on the right track forward.
Well, if I might interrupt, you know, it behooves us to remind the American people, particularly Republicans who are voting in this election, that when President Obama took office in January of 2009, we were losing 750,000 jobs per month for the first 6 months of his presidency.
Right.
And that right now we have 33 straight months of job growth. We've regained 5 million of the 8 million jobs that were lost. We were literally headed over a cliff
right.
until President Obama's policies began to kick in. And I'm quite interested in why Republicans who have, over the course of 2 years, watched Mitt Romney. I know you guys have to push the nonpartisan line. I understand that. But what galls me is the idea that people will vote for a man who has lied his way or attempted to lie his way to the White House. It is frustrating to me.
Right, right, right. And I get that, but my final analysis on a day-to-day basis is that we, as African Americans, as minorities, we are very emotional people, and we need to use those emotions to drive us out to the polls.
Amen.
We can go all about what they're doing and misrepresenting the facts. At the end of the day, none of that matters if we don't get out and vote our conscience and vote for the person that best represents us.
Absolutely. You've been working with churches and various religious institutions and civic organizations, I might add, to coordinate voter registration, voter turnout. Talk a little bit about Souls to the Polls, because I'm quite interested in that, and I'm certain the audience would like to know a little bit about that.
Right. Well, this past Sunday, October the 28th, was the last Souls to the Polls Saturday. The first Souls to the Polls Sunday, was October the 21st. We had two Souls to the Polls Sundays, Sunday, October the 21st, and Sunday, October the 28th. And to be quite honest, our numbers weren't the same. I talked with a lot of ministers, and they did say that a lot of their congregation had already voted. I think in 2008, we were able to allow people to save that moment of voting for Sunday. So our numbers in 2008 were a little higher than they were in 2012. But once again, we're still trailing behind other easily identifiable white early voting sites, you know, that voted on Sunday. You know, just to give you a sampling, on the 28th, you had this building in Ballantyne called the Gibson Building. They voted 517 people compared to Beatty's Ford Library that voted 293. Mm. So we're not doing good compared to West Boulevard that voted 258. Compared, you know, to the Morrison Library that voted 394. So we as African Americans, we got to get out.
Yeah.
We got to get out and vote. We've got to vote top of the ticket to the bottom, bottom to the top, top to the bottom. We've got to vote the entire ticket. You've got to vote for the president separately. Then if you choose to do a straight party ticket, you do that. But recognize that will only pick up the persons in that party, be it Democrat or Republican. and it will not pick up the nonpartisan judges, judges like Sam Ervin, judges like Wanda Bryan, Cressy Thigpen, Linda McGee. They will not be picked up.
Right.
Or local judges like Charlotte Brown Williams or Donnie Hoover or attorney Gary Henderson that's running for open seat. They will not be picked up when you vote a straight party ticket.
Now, one of the more disheartening issues for me is this coalition of African-American pastors who have vowed to deny President Obama a second term, primarily because of his support of gay marriage. What are your thoughts about an effort by African-American pastors to do, not only to deny President Obama a second term, but to encourage people to not actually go out to the polls?
I think that's unfortunate. There is no person that agrees with another person on all of the facts, on all of the issues, on all of matters of interest to them. So for anyone to get so caught up with one issue and basically try to vilify an individual based on one issue, it's unfortunate, but it's especially unfortunate based on how African Americans came to be politically involved. Our apparatus was the church.
Absolutely.
You know, NAACP, African American churches, they had meetings in African American churches early on, the NAACP. We became politically active and energized through our pastors, from the pastor to the pews, you know, to the streets. And so that's unfortunate. It's saddening. But at the end of the day, I can't get caught up with any negative because I am faith-filled and I feel like I am on the side of right with encouraging African Americans to vote. And I feel like positive will always float to the top. So I can't get so caught up with one issue. I have to look at the jobs that President Obama has been doing. I have to look at how he has deliberately ensured that Pell Grant funding is doubled. And who gets Pell Grant funding? African-American and minority students.
Absolutely.
You know, so I have to look at all the positive things that he's done for our community and for the United States of America and not allow any one sector of people, be it pastors or whomever, to be so divisive and conquer and divide what we've accomplished since the 1950s through
Amen.
The church.
Amen. You know, I've been especially interested in how black media would respond to this election, given how close it's projected to be. Was black media sufficiently responsive early enough to impact this election in some ways?
I think the media is the media.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the media, I don't differentiate between BET News or The Root, as opposed to the Charlotte Observer or Huffington Post or the New York Times.
Right.
The media is the media. So I think that the media is doing the job that the media is supposed to do. But once again, we've got to do the job that African American and minorities need to do, and let's get out and vote.
Amen.
Our conscience and vote our interest.
Amen. Well, we have just about actually 2 minutes left in the show. I do want to ask you, Hurricane Sandy has devastated several.
It has.
Yeah.
And my heart and my prayers go out to the people. I mean, because the death toll is past 50, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
I looked at CNN and I saw that rising, and my heart goes out to those families, and people are without, I mean, millions and millions of people are without power, and flooding has occurred. You know, and unfortunately in politics, people always look for an October surprise.
Yeah, well, that was the October surprise.
Right. It seems as if God himself has delivered an October surprise. So my prayers go out to the people that have been affected and impacted negatively.
Well, the question is, though, do you fear that this, you know, with the flooding, the damage, power outages, will this have some impact on voter turnout on Tuesday if there is no postponement of the election, particularly in places like New Jersey and Maryland?
Right, and Washington, D.C., that have high African-American populations. That's yet to be seen. We're on Tuesday. Well, your show is airing on Saturday, November the 3rd, and I think at that time we'll be able to kind of see power being restored if possible. But the losses can never be replenished as far as loss of lives, but we just have to see. But right now, for the states that are blessed enough not to be negatively impacted by the tropical storm Sandy, they've got to get out. They've got to get out, and they've got to vote, if anything, to try to overcorrect for the unfortunate losses that some of our northern brothers and sisters are experiencing. And here in Charlotte, to further excite and energize the base, the NAACP is going to have a final Get Out the Vote effort on Monday, November the 5th. It's at 6:30 p.m. I'm speaking of our churches. It's over at Little Rock, AME Zion Church on the corner of 7th and McDowell. They're going to have the JCSU Band, Fly Tide, B.J. Murphy, No Limit. Dr. William Barber from the state NAACP will be speaking. So, yes, we are going to be trying to excite and energize African-American and minority voters to do that last push, because I think we're not going to be able to claim that we've won the early vote. I think we're going to win it on Election Day.
Amen. Well, Colette Forrest, thank you so much for joining me this morning and giving me your thoughts and perspective about this upcoming election. It is certainly important that voices like yours be heard. And for individuals who are sitting on the fence about this election, as I always, always say, you have a responsibility.
Oh, absolutely.
Regardless
of minority, you have a responsibility.
That's right.
Because it's not just African Americans. We had our Jewish brethren that died with us, the women suffragists. They died trying to get the right to vote. So it's not just a clear black and white issue. It's definitely a minority issue, but we have to get out. We have to vote because the stakes are too high. You know, I read somewhere, and I loved it, so I started e-blasting it out. Okay, so you've changed the guard. Now you got to watch the guard. You know, you got to protect the guard.
Yeah,
so you change the guard, now you got to guard the change.
Well, thank you, Colette, so much for joining me this morning. I certainly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for caring enough and humbling me with tapping me to talk to you.
Absolutely. Amen. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank Colette Forrest for her steadfast commitment to get people to the polls. This is a critical election. In political terms, Hurricane Sandy is the October surprise. How Hurricane Sandy will impact the 2012 presidential election remains to be seen. We'll all know next week. The immediate benefit to President Obama is this devastating storm bolsters the president's position that government is not some nefarious entity bent on destroying the lives of Americans, that government is a partner with the American people, and that in times of crisis, whether personal or national, government is necessary. The storm undermines the ridiculous arguments of the Republican Party, right-wing ideologues, and the fringe that we don't need government in the lives of the American people. The only potential downside of Hurricane Sandy in political terms is voter turnout. With power outages in the millions, the flooding, loss of homes, property damage, and downed trees, will Americans in the states impacted by Hurricane Sandy be motivated or perhaps enthusiastic about going to the polls? We shall see. And as I always say, regardless of how bloated our government, regardless of how feckless our leaders, you have significantly minimized your right to complain if you don't vote. Engage the process, my friends. Engage the process. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary. www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.